What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Friday, October 4th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And the bye week continues, which means the On the Schedule segment. Nothing on the schedule. The Eagles are not at the facility. The injury report. No new injury news. Won't get any of that until next week. So let's dive right into a few little odds and ends, some fun facts, some interesting tweets I saw, just kind of Eagles, a little Eagles smorgasbord of things. If you haven't yet, there is a pod in the feed from yesterday with Brandon Lee Gowtwin of Bleeding Green Nation, kind of going over all the latest Eagles news, Sirianni, Jalen, what we think of everything. So more kind of in-depth analysis there. Always fun to have BLG on the show. And if you're listening to this on Friday morning, which I hope you are, we'll have a pod with Zach Berman, who recently wrote an Eagles book called The Franchise. That's really good. So some cool stuff in the feed with more analysis and kind of talking about the Eagles. But let's dive into just some odds and ends to get you to your Friday morning. And look, we're going to have an optimistic start to this pod. I feel like recently, considering the loss and, you know, the heat on Sirianni and the way Jalen's playing, everything has been kind of negative. But if you want to feel reason to believe, if you want to think, you know what, this season is not going to go down the drain, this season is going to rebound, they are going to meet the potential that lots of people thought they could, here's one reason to believe it. According to the Pro Football Network, the Eagles, the remainder of the season, have the easiest strength of schedule in the NFL. No team has an easier set of opponents from here on out than the Eagles. And you can see it right away in their upcoming games. If you look at their next four games, they have Cleveland at home, Giants on the road, Bengals on the road, Jaguars at home, the Cleveland Browns, 1-3, the Giants, 1-3, the Bengals, 1-3, the Jaguars, 0-4. That is a 3-13 record combined for the next four opponents. Now, obviously, things could change. The Jaguars could win their next three games, and then you're talking about a red-hot Jaguars team coming in. The Bengals could win their next two, and then you're talking about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Like, I understand all that. But if you look at more than just the record, these teams have not been that great so far this season. Cleveland, according to Pro Football Focus, they have them ranked as their 19th team in the NFL. The Giants, 23rd. The Jaguars, 31st. And we're talking the bottom of the league for the Jaguars, and then in the bottom half of the league for both those teams. So the records really indicate that these are not good teams. The Bengals, that's the one I think you would worry about. 12th team overall towards Pro Football, according to Pro Football Focus and how they rank them. So I think the Bengals are probably better than their record indicates, but I think the Giants are just as bad as their record indicates. I think the Jaguars are probably just as bad. They're not going to go 0-16, but they clearly are falling apart there. And Cleveland at home, Deshaun Watson is really bad. Now, you have Jim Schwartz as the defense coordinator coming back here. Probably a little something to worry about there. But the Eagles, according to Pro Football Focus, are 14th. So the Eagles, top half the team, close to a top 10 team. I think that's a fair place to have the Eagles. And so they have them ahead of the Browns. They have them ahead of the Giants. They have them ahead of the Jaguars. So the schedule coming up, they have got to go 3-1 in this next four. If they can go 3-1, you move to 5-3, not like an outstanding record, but I think at 2-2, most people would sign up for a 3-1 record over the next four games. If you can win all four, you go to 6-2, obviously that's outstanding. But if you lose to the Giants, if you lose, you know, to the Jaguars at home, like, there are some potential bad losses in there, but they'll probably be favored in each of the next four games. We'll see what the Browns do. I think they play this weekend. And, you know, maybe they have an outstanding game. Maybe the Eagles, it's close. But I think they'll probably be favored in each of the next four games. Bengals on the road, potentially not. But that is the advantage the Eagles have. Now, not to, you know, put a sour note on this, but last year at the end of the season, the Eagles did have one of the easiest records in the NFL the remainder of the way. The Giants twice, the Cardinals, the Seahawks. And we all remember what happened there. But it is funny when you look at it so far. The Eagles have won their two toughest games, I would say, in Brazil against Green Bay, and then at New Orleans, probably their two toughest games, and lost their two easiest ones. So if they can start winning the games they're supposed to win, there is a way for this to turn around. But making it even better, if you look at how they have this lined up with the strength of schedule, so the Eagles, easiest schedule in the league moving forward. But in the top eight, the Dallas Cowboys, the Detroit Lions, the San Francisco 49ers, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Green Bay Packers. So those teams that you would think the Eagles are going to compete with for a playoff spot, for, you know, the division when it comes to the Cowboys, they have some of the toughest schedules remaining the rest of the way. Washington, who a lot of people are now viewing as a threat to the Eagles, they're 24th, so they have a fairly easy schedule. The Vikings at 4-0, they have an easy schedule, 21st there. So maybe the Vikings are that team that surprises people. They finish with the top two record. But the teams that over a long stretch people expect to be better, the Lions, the Niners, the Rams, the Packers, the Cowboys, they have a much, much, much tougher schedule than the Eagles do the rest of the way. So that is definitely something the Eagles need to take advantage of. What this team needs so badly is just a turn in momentum. If they could string together four straight wins, we've seen this team is streaky. They were streaky in 2021. They were streaky in 2022. Last year, obviously very streaky. This can be their chance. If they can cut the turnovers down coming out of the bye week and they can string off four straight wins, yeah, not only will it silence a lot of critics, but I think it would do wonders for the locker room and the coaching staff down there at the NovaCare. I think this team wants to believe. I think they do believe, but they need to see the results on the field to believe. So that is your Friday good news. The schedule moving forward, definitely one the Eagles can take advantage of. All right, so let's get to a piece of audio that has been circulating around the interwebs, especially on Eagles Twitter. And it is Mike Evans mic'd up against the Eagles. This is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers production that they put out. And there's some good and there's some bad in there. I think the bad is probably somewhat overrated. But we'll play the clip. So it's Quinyon Mitchell talking with Mike Evans. And then there is also Avante Maddox talking with Mike Evans. So let's hear what both had to say.
You easy.
Huh?
You easiest to get over.
I've been with you all day, huh? How many catches you got?
You got one catch, you got a beer.
That's it.
All right. You know who I am, right? You know who I am, right? No, I do not. No, no. I don't.
Rookie, right?
Yeah, that means you got more juice. That means you should have the most juice out here. We 31.
Still be gaming?
Yeah, yo.
You got to get off here one more time.
I still play, bro. I got you on Fortnite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Quinyon part of it, very, very cool to see. And it kind of backs up what we've seen of Quinyon on the field. At his locker, I've talked to him, you know, a few times since he's been here. Very quiet, very calm, not like a rah-rah, you know, like CJ, GJ, Darius Slay kind of guy. He's much more kind of, you know, tame, I guess, when it comes to that. Now, he is a rookie. Who knows? Maybe his personality will start showing as the year goes on and the seasons go on. But on the field, he is right away shown he is not afraid of going against great players. He's used to it going against AJ. He's used to it from going against Devontae. Even matched up with Goddard occasionally, like Saquon. I mean, he is used to seeing elite talent in the NFL. And that shows when he's out there on the field. So Green Bay, we saw week one, that great pass down the field that Jordan Love had to Christian Watson, and Quinyon breaks that up. Like he's not overwhelmed by the moment or the opponent. And that showed when guarding Mike Evans, but also talking to Mike Evans. Like Mike Evans, first of all, saying, you know who I am. Like, come on, man. I get it. And like, look, Mike Evans had a Hall of Fame career, but you're really gonna pull that card on a rookie? I don't know. Seems a little lame. And then Quinyon firing back, saying he's doing well. Just really cool to see. And I think a really good look at who Quinyon is as a person, which is a personality he is going to need out there as a number one corner, which is certainly where he is headed, if not already there. And the stats back it up. He gave up 2 catches on 4 targets for 18 yards, 1 first down, had a really good rep against Mike Evans in the end zone. So a good day overall for Quinyon and an otherwise bad day for the defense. And encouraging to see how he handles himself out there on the field against some of the great players. As for the Avante thing, look, this comes right into the Darius Slay camp of it's going to be something that annoys people. Like, is it bad that Avante is being friendly out there against an opponent when they're losing? Sure, you could paint that case. Is it, should he be doing that? Do you want him like out there devastated on the field that they're losing like fans feel? Probably not. You probably don't want him to ride that emotional wave. But asking about Fortnite doesn't say what part of the game it is. Maybe it was early. Who knows? Maybe it's the end of the game and, he's over it. But yeah, I think it's at a time when people are already very annoyed with the Eagles. That's not a clip that has gone over well with Eagles fans. So that is the piece of audio to play for you guys. So overall, some good news, right? Schedule looks easy. Quinyon looks awesome. Just want to give you guys some cheerful news heading into Friday. We got Red October starting. Come on. time to be in a good mood if you're a Philly sports fan. Let's officially get over that loss to Tampa Bay. So on the other side, we are going to talk to about something that unfortunately won't help your good mood. We are going to give out our bye week report card for the defensive line on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, let's get into what has been arguably the worst unit on the team. Actually, not sure, even sure, arguably. I think Jalen has played better than the defensive line has. So the worst unit on the team so far through four games, the defensive line. And let's look at them in two different ways. First, let's talk about against the run, and then we will get into the more meaningful part, the pass. I think what really is so frustrating about this unit is they should be great against the run. Jordan Davis was supposed to be great against the run coming out of college. Jalen Carter has all the physical ability to be great against the run. Brandon Graham has been great against the run in his career as an edge rusher. Nolan Smith has the physical ability, while undersized, to be great against the run. And yet this is a team that is 28th in the league versus the run, averaging 5.0 yards per carry allowed. Again, 28th in the league. It's terrible. And especially when Nakobe is, let's be honest here, a better run-stopping linebacker than he is a pass coverage linebacker. They should be better against the run than they are. And this is twofold. One, it's certainly scheme involved, right? Like Vic Fangio takes blame in this. But it is also, mostly, I'm not trying to pin it all on him, but like Jordan Davis has to be a difference maker against the run. So Jordan Davis, according to Pro Football Focus, is 78th of 143 qualifying defensive tackles versus the run. If you are going to be a top 15 pick, that's essentially a three down nose tackle. A run stopping nose tackle. You have to almost immediately be one of the best in the league. And you certainly have to be by your third year. Now, Jordan Davis has had some good moments. He was really good against the Saints. Like, he has shown the ability to be great. But where he has struggled is when teams run off to the side, like, he just can't get over there. Now, there's been good effort plays, but overall, he has not been good against the run. I don't think he has a single tackle for a loss this season against the run. He has maybe one. He has the sack, but obviously that's not against the run. Jordan Davis has been disappointing. And if you look at it, they've all been disappointing. Brandon Graham is the only defender, I think, this year that has been good against the run. You can say Nolan Smith for stretches. Milton Williams has come in and helped somewhat, but they have not been good against the run this year. And the stats back that up. Now, they've played good running backs. Josh Jacobs, Bijan Robinson. They shut down Alvin Kamara. But Tampa is nothing special when it comes to running the ball. They were missing one of their offensive linemen, and their top back was hurt. I know, not like out for the year or whatever, but he was injured. So I think that the run defense has to be better, clearly, than it has been so far. But it just is especially frustrating when you draft someone in the top 15 that's supposed to be a difference maker against the run. And I know one player can't be a complete difference maker, but to have Jordan Davis on the unit and still be 28th, that is a failure by everybody involved. So not good against the run. If we're gonna grade them specifically against the run, I mean, I think you give them an F, maybe a D minus, because they were really good. If you want to be kind, you can say a D because they were awesome against the Saints. But I think you probably lean towards an F there. Now, let's talk about against the pass. And this is where the frustration for everybody has really been. The Eagles are used to having a great pass rush. They almost set the NFL record for sacks 2 years ago. Howie Roseman preaches about the defensive line mattering. And it's been really, really rough. I think the only player that you can argue has had an average season and not like a actively really bad one is Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat is top 10 in the league in hurries at edge rusher. He has 12 hurries in four games. Not outstanding, but certainly not nothing. He has five hits. He has a sack. Now, his play has not really been impactful. Like, he had a few moments against the Saints, but there's not an edge rusher on the team that has impacted the game in a positive way so far. So I definitely agree there's somewhat of empty stats there, but I think it's important to point out that Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham have been considerably better than Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith. So Josh Sweat's been their best edge rusher, but Brandon Graham in 127 snaps, six hurries, one hit, one sack, which he kind of lucked into a little bit, but he made the play. That's in 64 pass rush snaps. So you can't really actually take that 127. I mean, six hurries and 64 pass rush snaps is not outstanding, but for who should be your fourth edge, I think Brandon Graham has been pretty good this year. So I would say Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham, if you're going to grade them, I think you probably give them like a C-minus-ish type of grade, because they have to get pulled down by the fact the whole unit struggled. What has really hurt this team is Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith. Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith in 104 pass rushing snaps have 6 combined hurries. They have 0 sacks and 0 hits on the quarterback. Think about that. In 100 plus pass rushing snaps, they have hit the quarterback 0 times. They've gone against bad offensive tackles. Hasn't mattered. They've gone against tight ends. Hasn't mattered. It's just not good enough, obviously. So if you were to look at just those two, I don't see how you don't give them anything but an F. Nolan Smith has been decent against the run at times. Bryce Huff is essentially unplayable against the run. His own team's admitting that. So while this is not a like forever grade of Bryce Huff, he could definitely improve. And when we do the end of season grades, hopefully we're talking about a better grade. But right now, there could not have been a worse start to the season, injury aside, for Bryce Huff. So overall, when you look at this defensive line, they are 20th in hurries, not good enough. 25th in quarterback knockdowns, absolutely not good enough. 26th in hurries, not good enough. 29th in sacks, that's like a season-altering number. They have to get after the quarterback. Their offense has to be better. And I think that in some ways, their defense, if they play roughly the same, can be good enough to maybe win a playoff game or two. But they're not going to win the Super Bowl without this pass rush. When they go against the elite quarterbacks, and let's be honest, they haven't really yet. Jordan Love, not elite. Derek Carr, not elite. Kirk Cousins, not elite. Baker Mayfield, not elite. If you give the type of time in the pocket that the Eagles are giving to quarterbacks against elite quarterbacks, they're going to get absolutely ripped to shreds. Like, you think the quick pass game hurts? Wait till they have to play Lamar Jackson, or they have to play in the playoffs potentially. Now, not a ton of great quarterbacks in the NFC, but like Jared Goff, right? Brock Purdy with the game plan. They have to get after the quarterback better. So this is nothing new to you guys. It's something we've talked about at length, but 4 games in, yeah, absolutely could not be going worse for the Eagles and their pass rush. So think you got to give him an F. I feel bad handing out an F. I almost wanted to go D minus or a D because they were great against the Saints. But 29th in sacks, 28th against the run. It's an F. Unfortunately, that's an F. But the good news is they got the easiest schedule in the league the rest of the way. It's Red October and it's Friday. So I hope everybody enjoys their weekend. As always, love you all for listening. Means the world to me and James. You guys take the time to choose us as part of your Eagles content. We love talking to you, and we can't wait to ride out the rest of the season with you guys. So, as we always do, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.